Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island, pairing beer and music since 1988. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago, Illinois. Listen critically, enjoy responsibly.
You are listening to Sound Opinions, and later in the show, we're going to share some of our favorite musical cameos, instances where a short appearance by a guest artist elevates a song to a new level. But first, let's review some new music.
I never come home at night, and you stay by my side, but then I broke your heart. I went too far. The drugs were too strong, and then I broke your heart, my friend. I went too far.
That is a little bit of So Ready from Raphael Sadiq, the first album in 8 years, Greg. One of the most important, if underappreciated, artists in R&B over the last several decades. First emerged in the mid-80s as a driving force in the old-school soul R&B band Tony. A great old-school R&B band taking the classic roots of that sound into a new era. Struck out as a solo artist thereafter, probably the most critically acclaimed album, The Way I See It, in 2008. But he's also always been a songwriter and producer for other greats. And this list is just astounding. Stevie Wonder, Joss Stone, Jay-Z, Solange, Whitney Houston, Mary J. Blige, Khalees, and Vogue. My God, he's been everywhere, even a Christmas album for John Legend. Now, after a very long break, 8 years, as I said, he is back with a new solo album. The album is named Jimmy Lee, after one of Raphael Sadiq's four siblings who died tragically young. Jimmy Lee Baker overdosed in the 1990s after contracting HIV and doing time in prison. All of those four siblings died early, tragic deaths. Raphael has been surrounded by this cloud of grief his whole life, and he is now addressing it on this album. Let's play a track, and we will come back and give our opinions on Jimmy Lee. This is the song Sinner's Prayer by Raphael Sadiq on Sound Opinions.
8 millimeters in microscopes, fingers on the triggers, aimed at my dome. They're gunning for me with loaded tongues, just trying to get home. Prodigal son, see I'm not running, I'm in this fight. No, I'm not guilty. Hope the Most High can see my heart is in the right place. My hands are folded, my knees are bending when I say, God, help me make it. God, can we make it? God, when a sinner's praying, God,
is Sinner's Prayer from the new Raphael Sadiq record, Jimmy Lee. As you can tell from that song, Raphael Sadiq is broaching some new territory here,
oh, yeah,
sonically and lyrically. There is no album that precedes him in his entire vast catalog that resembles this one. you know, some longtime fans may be taken aback, you know, that soulful retro kind of feel that he was able to bring to even the most contemporary tracks that he made isn't so much there anymore. But what he has replaced it with is a new level of autobiographical detail and just drenching this record in atmosphere. It's like he's channeling ghosts. You mentioned the four siblings that have died. It's almost like he's speaking through them in each of these songs, talking about what they felt like as addicts. Even the voice is nearly unrecognizable. There's a few tracks where I'm going, is that Raphael singing?
Your life is in your rear view. Your life...
Yeah.
That sweet
yeah.
falsetto, where did that go? It's kind of like this low baritone tone where he is basically acting a role of the drug addict going through the throes of addiction and the price those people pay for that addiction. His closeness to addiction through him, family members, gives this a real verite, you know, without a doubt. There's almost a stream of consciousness level to these lyrics where you almost feel like it's not a song. And yet, he's still skilled enough to craft arrangements out of them that make him memorable. It's a concept record. It's the most ambitious record he's made yet. I am still processing it in terms of just how chilling it is.
It is. It is not an easy listen.
It's not an easy listening, but it's a very moving document. And then to close the album with that song about Rikers and about all the young black men that are incarcerated there to hugely disproportionate numbers that they are in the population.
He says it's something he didn't do. He's afraid to take that long ride down Rikers Avenue.
Broadening out the themes to this socially conscious, politically conscious level. It's just a new level of songwriting for Raphael Sadiq, and I think the best album of his career in many ways.
Oh, absolutely. I'll go further than that, Greg. I think in terms of the lyrical ambition, the finding catharsis through confessionals about the pain in his life, you have to go to something like Hear My Dear, Marvin Gaye's famous divorce album.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of the dark cloud hanging over the African-American community in too much of this country. You know, his sister died when she was backing down her driveway and ran smack into a police chase.
Right.
I mean, geez, so if it's not addiction and Rikers Island killing young black people, it's some happenstance of the violence in a neighborhood. I think in terms of that, the cloud, you have to look at There's a Riot Going On by Sly Stone. I mean, this is a masterful album that I've merely lived with for a week. It's a deep, deep album. And that track, Rikers, is up there with anything Kendrick Lamar has done in terms of looking at, you know, the toll that is being taken on young black men by our prison system. It's a masterpiece. Sometimes, Greg, the difference between a good song and an all-time classic, a great one, is an unexpected featurette for another artist who just kind of blows in. We're talking about musical cameos.
Sometimes it is strictly for marketing purposes. Oh, let's get this artist from that genre who's really hot right now to drop a few bars or sing a hook. And it's clearly just done for marketing purposes.
Yeah, or,
there's no relationship between these artists, you know, or the song.
You know, or in hip-hop, where I'm going to invite my 28 best friends to each come do a verse, you can lose the plot very easily.
Yeah,
we're going deeper than that.
Yeah, the art gets lost. In the cases that we're going to cite today, we really are striving to present cameos that actually enhance the song and you could only envision that artist doing that part, which I think was part of the motivation for why these collaborations happened in the first place. I think a good example of that is the song that I'm going to open with, which is Gorillaz' Clint Eastwood. It's from their 2001 self-titled debut album. And we didn't know then Gorillaz was sort of hyped as this cartoon band, you know, ghost led by Damon Albarn of Blur, sort of a side project, which he turned into an incredible artistic collective approach. He is essentially the centerpiece of Gorillaz, but he's also about sharing the wealth, about bringing in artists for appropriate contributions to particular songs. This is a great example of it. Clint Eastwood was a huge hit, and a large reason for that was the inclusion of Del the Funky Homo Sapien as a rapper. So what you've got here are verses rapped by Del, the chorus sung by Albarn, and they're sort of going back and forth. It's kind of a conversation about the ego versus the spirit. You know, if you go deep, that want to go that deep. On another level, it's just a fun song to listen to. It's very playful. It's got a hook a mile long, you know, that the good, the bad, and the ugly, yeah, which is why they call it Clint Eastwood, sort of, you know, the old homage to spaghetti westerns of the 60s.
Ennio Morricone, yes.
Yeah. But again, goes back to the idea that here, Del's contribution to the song is essential to its completion. Clint Eastwood from Gorillaz on Sound Opinions.
I got sunshine in a bag. I'm useless, but not for long. The future is coming on. I ain't happy, I'm feeling glad. I got sunshine in a bag. I'm useless, but not for long. The future is coming on. It's coming on. It's coming on. It's coming on. It's coming on.
Finally, someone let me out of my cage. Now, time for me is nothing, cause I'm counting no A's. Nah, I couldn't be there. Nah, you shouldn't be scared. I'm good at repairs, and I'm under each snare. Intangible, bet you didn't think, so I command you to. Panoramic view, look, I'll make it all manageable. Pick and choose, sit and lose, all you different crews. Chicks and dudes, who you think is really kicking tunes. Picture you getting down in a picture tube, like you lit the fuse. You think it's fictional, mystical, maybe. Spiritual hero who appears in you to clear your view when you're too crazy. Lifeless to those, the definition for what life is. Priceless to you because I put you on the high chest. You like it? Gun smoke, you're righteous with one toke. You're psychic among no possess you with one go.
I'm feeling glad I got sunshine.
That is Gorillaz with Clint Eastwood. Del the Funky Homo Sapien with the cameo on that song assisting Damon Albarn's project as my first example of a great cameo on a song. Jim, what do you got for us?
Good one, Greg. You know, 90 and 91, I actually have two picks in this show from that period where those folks who were propelling alternative rock forward, and just before Nirvana was about to break that wide open, were, you know, consciously inviting in the hip-hop world, where fans of hip-hop were saying, we are all fighting the power, perhaps from different directions and in different styles, but there is a kindred spirit here. So the first song I'm going to highlight is Sonic Youth's Cool Thing from the Goo album in 1990. I think it's probably their poppiest, most accessible, most song-oriented album. Really liked it when it came out, in particular Kim Gordon's Cool Thing, because this is her song. She shines. And I didn't realize this. I always heard it as sort of like a bad ass chick song, right? You know, cool thing, sitting with a kitty, you know, you're looking really pretty, you know, but I just read up on it, and she was actually channeling the activist women, like, you know, in the Black Panther Party, and the White Panther Party, and also Patty Hearst, that crazy story about having been brainwashed and then becoming a revolutionary. And so who does she reach out to as a New Yorker in the avant-garde, but the king of New York hip-hop, Chuck D, Public Enemy, right? Both fighting the power from different directions. And Chuck, with that wonderful Marv Albert basketball announcer voice, you know, comes in and has this dialogue. And when you think that, you know, Gordon was thinking about that period of 70s radicalism, late 60s, 70s radicalism, when, you know, when you look at the lyrics, I mean, are you going to liberate us girls? What are you going to do for me? Because, of course, the left was not, even as it was fighting racism and urging revolution and fighting imperialism also, you know, was not immune from sexism, mm-hmm. right? And then Chuck is like, you know, fear of a female planet? Yeah, maybe. I love that dialogue. I don't know about you, but this is Cool Thing from Sonic Youth on Sound Opinions. Thing by Sonic Youth featuring the immortal, the wonderful Chuck D.
Yes, wonderful times, Jim. I remember Chuck D, Public Enemy, sharing a bill with Sonic Youth.
Yes.
At the Aragon Ballroom in Chicago, with one of the great shows.
Yes, yeah, and there was a mini police riot outside that show. You and I were working double duty that night, critic and journalist.
Indeed. When we return, we're going to share some more of our favorite musical cameos. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX.